Today's lesson of the Rambam is Perek Revi of Hilchos Ishus, Chapter 4 of the Laws of Marriage, and it deals primarily with the laws of marriage against the consent of the wife or the husband, marriage with one witness, or other forms of marriage, of betrothal, that might not be valid. Halacha Aleph, Paragraph 1. Ein ha'isha miskadeshes elo l'ritzona. A woman cannot be betrothed except with her consent. V'hamekadesh isha bal karcha eina mikadeshes. And if one betroths a woman against her will, she is not betrothed. Even though, in monetary matters, one can force someone to sell something if you give the money for the article, and that concept is called teluhu v'zavin, because we assume that the coercion and the fact that you got the money gives you the desire to sell the product. With regard to marriage, the Talmud says the marriage is not valid, because since the husband has done something that is improper, the rabbis, in whose name the marriage is invoked, revoke the marriage entirely. However, the Rambam continues, Avol ha'ishan suhu achikidesh balkarcho, harezo mekudeshes, that if the man is coerced until he marries or betroths the woman against his will, she would be considered betrothed. And the reason for this, according to the Rambam, is that since the husband has a way to divorce this wife, even against her will, insofar as biblical law is concerned, until Rabbeinu Gershom outlawed divorce against one's will, there is no need for the rabbis to revoke the marriage. Only in the case of the woman, who cannot obtain the divorce against the will of the husband, do they feel the necessity in revoking the marriage. Though the Rambam's view seems to be that the marriage, coerced marriage, in terms of the husband being coerced, is valid, even without the husband finally saying, Rotza ani, I accept, or I'm willing, the Ravid, Maimonides' critic, disagrees and says that this is only true if the husband clearly states, after the coercion, Rotza ani, I desire to be married. The Rambam continues, V'yesh la'ish l'kadesh nashim rabos ka'achas. It is possible for a man to betroth many women simultaneously. V'hu sheyia b'kesef im kiddush b'kesef pruto l'chol achas v'achas, provided that if he betroths her with money or an article of value, there is sufficient money so that everyone obtains at least one pruta, the minimal amount for betrothal. V'yesh la'achas mehen o la'acher l'kabul ha'kedushin ayidei kulon midaiton. It is possible for one of them or for someone else to receive the article of value for betrothal in behalf of everyone if they consent to it. Halacha Beis, Paragraph 2. Hamekadesh es ha'isha v'nasan ha'kedushin midaita b'yad chaverta. If a man betroths a woman and he gives the article of value with his wife or his bride's consent to someone else, that other woman should serve or act as the shliach, the agent of the woman he wants to marry. Now, he turns v'amar l'chavrta, he says to his bride's friend, kishenasan ha'kedushin v'yada, when he gives the article of value in her hand, v'at nami, and you shall also, o v'chein gamat, or likewise you too, ukiyotzebiza, or any other similar expression, harishtein mikudashos, they are both considered betrothed. And the reason for this is, as commentaries point out, that he gave at least two prutos, so that there is one pruta for each woman, and in this case, he wants to marry both, and they both consented. Aval im nasan biyada v'amrla v'at, but if he puts it in her hand, the hand of his bride's friend, and he says to her, and you, without adding the word also, or to, or likewise, harei zo shekibla ha'kedushin mikudeshes b'safik, the woman who accepted, who received the article of value for betrothal, is betrothed out of doubt. The doubt is, perhaps his intention is, you too shall be married to me, which he consented to, and in that case she would be married. But on the other hand, it might be a different intention. Shema, perhaps, lo niskaving elo liros ma beliba. His only intention was to see what was in her heart. Ukiilu amrla, as if he had said to her, v'at matomri b'davar zeh, and what do you say about this? In other words, would you agree to marriage or not? So he's not marrying her, he's not betrothing her, he's asking her for her opinion about it. Well, l'ficha kibla hakadushin hi, and that's why she was willing to accept the article of value for betrothal and did not return it immediately. Shari ze adayin sho'ala liros ma baliba, because the man is really asking her what is in her heart, what is her opinion, and therefore she feels no need to return it because she has the right to deliberate about this. Umipnei ze hi safik mikudeshes, because of this possibility that it's not an immediate intention of betrothal, therefore the betrothal is considered to be in doubt, and we consider her to be married, that she would require a get, a bill of divorce, in order to remarry. Halacha Gimel, paragraph 3. Amala hiskachi li bedinaze. If the man says to the woman, become betrothed unto me with this dinar. A dinar is one of the different types of currency in those days, in biblical and Talmudic times. Nitolatu uzrakatu lefanav. If she takes the dinar and she throws it in his presence, ola yam, or she throws it into the sea, ola ur, or into the fire, ola davar ha'aved, or to any other place where it would be destroyed. Eina mekudeshes, she is not betrothed. The reason why she is not betrothed is obvious, because she does not want to accept it. What is the point in even telling us this? Commentaries point out, because we might have thought that she is merely testing her husband to see whether he would get angry when he sees how she reacts and what she does with the article of value. And perhaps she did consent to marriage. But the point the Rama makes is that, no, we do not say that, and she is not married. Amra lo, she says to him, Tnei la'aba, ola avicha, ola ish ploni, v'nasan, eina mikudeshes. She tells him, give it to my father, or to your father, or to someone else, and he gives it to that person. She is not betrothed. Because what she's really telling him is, I don't want your money, give it to someone else. And you can't marry her against her will. V'im amra lo, tenehu lo, sheyikablehu li, v'nasan, harezo mikudeshes. However, if she says to him, give it to that person, so that that person may receive it in my behalf, and the man gives it to that person, she is betrothed. And the husband does not have to repeat over again, become betrothed unto me with the money that I gave to so-and-so. It's enough that he gave it to her, and he said to her, be betrothed to me with this money that I'm giving you. Halacha Dalet, paragraph 4. Amra, hanicheu avasela, eina mikudeshes. If she says to him, when he gives her the money, the article of value for betrothal, put it on a stone, she is not betrothed. Because the stone is not hers, and it's as if she's saying, throw it out, I don't want it. V'im haya sela shala, mikudeshes. However, if the rock was hers, she would be betrothed, because the law is that your own property could acquire something for you in your behalf. What happens if the rock was joint property of the man and the woman? Then she is considered betrothed out of doubt. The doubt is based on the premise that on one hand, since she's telling him to put it in joint property, in other words, he has a share in that property, it's like she's telling him, you can keep your money, I don't want it. On the other hand, since he is interested in marrying her, we might assume that he is lending her space in his share of the property, so that that space belongs to her, and that she does acquire the article of value, and it is hers, and she is betrothed. Because of this doubt, the marriage is considered to be in doubt as well. Amar la hiskachi li bikikar zeh. If he says to her, behold, you are betrothed unto me with this loaf of bread. Amra lo, and then she says back to him, tnehu l'ani, give it to a poor man. Afilu haya ani hasamach aleha, eina mikudeshes. Even if it is a poor man who's dependent on her, she is not betrothed. Because in essence, he gave nothing to her, because just as she is obligated to support the poor man, so is he. It's his obligation and mitzvah as well. So in effect, he gave her nothing. Tneu lakelev, harezo eina mikudeshes. If she says to him, give it to the dog, give it to a dog, she is not betrothed, because he gave her nothing. Vim haya hakelev shala, mikudeshes. However, if the dog was her own, she is betrothed, because she's benefiting from the fact that he's feeding her a dog. Vim haya ratz achreha lenashcha, v'amro lo tneu lakelev zeh, hareza safik mikudeshes. If the dog was pursuing her in order to bite her, and she says to him, give it to this dog, to appease the dog, then the marriage, the betrothal, is in doubt. On one hand, you might say, he's obligated to save her, and he's not really giving her anything, because that's his obligation. On the other hand, because he saved her from being bitten by the dog, she might have consented to be married to this man. Therefore, the betrothal is in doubt. In any case where betrothal is in doubt, in order for her to remarry, she requires a get, a bill of divorce, and if someone else betrothed her, she would require a bill of divorce from the other person, because we might also assume that the marriage in the first case was not valid, and the second marriage is valid. And that is what we would do in any case where the marriage or betrothal is in doubt. Halacha Hey, paragraph 5. Haya Moche Peros o Kelim o Kiyotze Behen. If a man was selling fruit or utensils or anything like that, Ba Isha vi Amrlo, Tenli mi Atmi Elu, and a woman comes along and says to him, give me some of these. Vi Amrlo, Im Ething Lach Tihim Kodeshesli, and then he says to her, if I will give it to you, will you be betrothed unto me? Now, Im Amra, Hain, Vinasan Lo, Harizom Kodeshes. If she says yes, and he gives it to her, she is betrothed. Aval im amrlo ten li mehen, o hashlich li, o devarim shein yonam, lo sisachik imi bedvarim elu, ele ten li bulvad, venasan, enam kodeshes. If, however, she replies, give me some of them, or throw me some, or uses any other expression, the implication of which is, do not mock me with such words, but just give it to me, and he then gives them to her, she is not betrothed, because obviously she doesn't want to be betrothed, she just wants the object, but not the betrothal. V'chein im ha-yeshose yayin. Similarly, if he was drinking wine, if he amra lo, ten li kos echad, and she says to him, give me one cup of wine, vi amra lo, and he then says to her, im etin lo chareyat mekodeshes libo, if I shall give it to you, will you be betrothed unto me with it? Vi amra, and she says, hashkeni hashkos, do give me to drink. O tain, or she says give, or hashke, give to drink, or she says hashlech, which means throw. Eina mekodeshes, in all of these cases she is not betrothed. She'ein hadvarim nirin, ella, hashkeni bilvad, v'lo sisachak imi bedavar acher. Because the appearance, the implication of what she's saying is, that all that she's interested in is, please give me to drink, and don't mock me with any other intentions. I'm not interested in anything else. Just give me the wine. And because of that, since she is not really interested in betrothal, she is not betrothed. Halacha Vav, paragraph 6. Hamikadesh be'eid echad ein choshishim l'kedushav. If one betroths a woman with one witness, we pay no attention to that betrothal. It is absolutely invalid. Ve'afal pisha shnehem modim. And even if both admit to the fact that they were betrothed, it does not help. Kal v'chomer l'mikadesh below edim. And of course, this rule will apply even more so, a fortiori, to a betrothal that is brought about with no witnesses at all present. Of course, in that case, even if both acknowledge that they were betrothed, the betrothal is totally invalid. Hamikadesh b'psuli edus shel Torah eina mikodeshes. If one betroths a woman with witnesses that are biblically disqualified, she is not betrothed. The meaning of biblically disqualified is that the person, one of the witnesses, transgressed a negative commandment for which biblical lashes would be administered. Bipsule edus shel divrei sofrim. If he uses witnesses that are disqualified rabbinically, that of course means that the witnesses transgressed a rabbinical commandment. O be'edim shehem safek psuli Torah. Or he used witnesses that are in doubt whether they are biblically disqualified. An example of that would be if two witnesses testify about one person that he had transgressed a biblical commandment. Two other witnesses come to contradict that report and claim that the person had not transgressed. In this case, we are in Imratz Lichnos. If he still wishes to wed her, Choser u'mikadesh b'ksherim. He repeats the betrothal in the presence of qualified witnesses. However, v'im lo ratz lichnos, if he then does not want to wed her anymore, Tzricha get mimenu misafik. She requires a get, a bill of divorce, because of the doubt. Vafilo kafra ha'isha v'hikhisha sa'edim. Even if the woman denies it and she contradicts the witnesses, v'amra, and she says, lo kidashtani, you have not betrothed me. Kofin o salikach get. We will coerce her to receive, to accept a get, the bill of divorce. In early manuscripts of the Rambam, the expression here that is used is not that she is compelled to receive the get, because why should she be compelled? She doesn't have to remarry if she doesn't want to, but that he is compelled to give the get. V'chein din kol kedushi safik. This is the same din that would apply to any type of betrothal that is in doubt. Imratz lichnos chozer mekadesh vaday. If he wants to wed her, even after the doubt has arisen, he then has to repeat the betrothal in a proper way, in a way that would be certain, without any doubts. V'im lo ratzel lichnos, and if he does not want to wed her any longer, tzricha get mimena misafik. She requires a bill of divorce because of the doubt. Halacha Zayin, paragraph 7. Katan shekidesh ein kiddushav kiddushin. A minor who betroths, his betrothal is totally invalid. Aval gadol shekidesh es haktana hayisoma. However, an adult male who betroths a minor who is an orphan, oktana shiyatza mirshusa viha, or a minor who has left the jurisdiction and the authority of her father, as we learned in an earlier chapter, that is when the father has already betrothed her and she had already gotten married, and then her husband either dies or divorces her, she is then in her own jurisdiction. In these two cases, either the orphan or the minor has left her father's jurisdiction, im haisa p'chusa mibashesh, if she is younger than 6 years old, afal pi shehi nevonas lachash b'yoser, and even if she is exceedingly clever, umakeres umavchenes, and she can recognize and make distinctions, ein kan sham kedushin, there is no betrothal here at all. Ve'ena tzricha lema'ein, she does not even have to perform the act of refusal. Refusal is a reference to a formal procedure, which we will discuss later, in the case where a girl is considered to be betrothed rabbinically. But in this case, if she's under 6, she does not even need refusal, let alone a divorce. V'im haisa mibas eser shanim ulamayla, if she was 10 years and older, afa pi shehi sechala b'yoser, even though she is exceedingly foolish or simple-minded, hoil v'niskad sheledaita, harezo mekudeshes lemeyun, since she was betrothed with her consent, she is considered betrothed insofar as she requires refusal, the formality of refusal, known as miyun, in order for her to be free to remarry. If she is aged between 6 years and the end of her 10th year, she must be examined as to the state of her mind. If she is aware of and can make distinctions in matters of marriage and betrothal, she requires refusal. She cannot remarry without miyun, without refusal. V'im lav, eina mekudeshes lemeyun, ve'eina tzricha lemoyin. And if not, she doesn't have the ability to discern and to understand the matters of marriage and betrothal. The betrothal is invalid insofar as to require refusal, and hence she does not require it. Halacha Ches, paragraph 8. Ketzad mekudeshes lemiyun. How is a girl betrothed insofar as to require refusal? We learned before that at the age of 10, if she's an orphan or her father has lost his authority over her, and an adult marries her, she requires refusal in place of a divorce. What is involved? She'im miskatsha, v'leiratzas aleishev imbayla, tzricha lemoyin b'fnei shnayim. If she was betrothed in the foregoing situation, and she does not want to stay and remain with her husband, she must refuse in the presence of two witnesses. V'lomar, and she has to say in their presence, eini rotza bo, I do not want him. V'yotza below gate, and she goes out, she leaves him without the need of a divorce, k'moshi yizbara behilchas gerushin, as we shall explain in the laws of divorce. V'zohi hanikreis mimo'enes, and this is the woman who is referred to as one who has refused. V'loma yotza below gate, the Rambam asks, why does she have the right to leave her husband without the benefit of a divorce? And the answer is, mipnei she'en kiddusheha kiddushin gemurin min ha-Torah, because her betrothal is not considered to be completely valid, insofar as the Torah, the Bible, is concerned. Ela medivrei sofrim, the marriage has only the effect of a rabbinic betrothal. Vehem tluyin, and they are tentative. That means that the betrothal will only be valid depending on what happens later, as the Rambam proceeds to explain. She'im yashva imbayla ad shegadla, if she stays with her husband until she becomes a mature adult, and after she becomes a mature adult, she still remains with her husband and has relations with him, gamru kedusheha v'naseis eishis ish gemura. Her betrothal then becomes complete, and she assumes the status of a fully married woman. He does not have to repeat the betrothal again after she has become a mature adult. However, if she does not want to remain with him, she has to go through the refusal procedure, and she can leave her husband without the benefit of a get, a bill of divorce. Now, this is true as long as she's a minor. If she becomes a mature adult and she does not live, she does not have relations with her husband, although she does not require a biblical divorce, the rabbi still required a divorce. Miyun is only used when she's still a minor. Halacha Tes, paragraph 9. Cheresh shenasa pikachas, v'chein chereshes shenises lepikeach, ein kidushehem gemurim min hatora, ela medivri sofrim. If a male deaf mute marries a normal woman, and likewise if a female deaf mute marries a normal man, their betrothal is not considered to be complete biblically, rather it is considered to be completely valid rabbinically. Lefichach im ba pikeach v'kidesh eishes cheresh hapikachas harizol mekudeshes l'sheni. Consequently, if a normal person comes and he betroths the wife of a deaf mute, who is normal, the wife is normal, she is betrothed to the second person. Kiddushin gemurin, complete and full-fledged betrothal, v'nosin get, he must give a bill of divorce, v'hi muteres l'baila hacheresh, and only then is she permitted to go back to her deaf-mute husband, because the marriage to her deaf-mute husband was not biblically valid, while the marriage to this other person is biblically valid. And because of the fact that she now received the divorce from the biblically valid marriage, she's now permitted to marry the deaf-mute. However, it should be noted that this is only true if the betrothal to the deaf-mute did not end with nisuyin, the final stage of marriage. They were not really wed. In that case, she would be forbidden to both. The Rambam continues, Aval hashota shekidesh pikachas, o pikeach shekidesh shota, ein kan kedushin klol, lo medivrei Torah, lo medivrei sofrim. If, however, an imbecile betroths a normal woman, or if a normal man betroths a female imbecile, the betrothal is absolutely invalid, and that is true with regard to the biblical law of marriage, likewise with regard to the rabbinical law. There is no marriage whatsoever. Halacha Yud, paragraph 10. Sarish shekidesh, bein tzris chama, bein tzris adam. If a eunuch, either a congenital eunuch or a man-made eunuch, these were discussed in chapter 2 of the laws of marriage, if one of them performs a betrothal, v'chein eilunishin is katsha, and likewise a barren woman, the type that was discussed there in chapter 2, if she was betrothed, hari elu kiddushin gimurin, the betrothal is completely valid. In the case of the man-made eunuch, it is forbidden for him to marry, but nevertheless, if they went through the procedure of betrothal, the marriage takes effect, though they would require a divorce. Halacha Yud Aleph, paragraph 11. Tumtum v'androgynous shekitchu isha, o shekitchan ish, hari elu kiddushi safik, utzrichin get misafik. If a tumtum, that's someone whose gender is in doubt, we don't know if it's male or female, or a hermaphrodite, one who has both signs of both masculine and feminine, betroths a woman, or is betrothed by a man, the validity of the betrothal is in doubt. We don't know if it's a man or a woman, and therefore they require a get, a bill of divorce, on account of this doubt. Halacha Yud Beis, 12. Hamekadish achas min ha'arayos lo asa klum. If a man betroths a woman who is forbidden to him, and is one of the primary prohibitions that are mentioned in the Torah, such as the case of a daughter, a sister, and so on and so forth, where the penalty for this is kares, excision, lo asa klum, there's absolutely no validity to that marriage. She'ein kiddushin tofsim la'erva, chutz min hanida. Because betrothal has no effect upon a woman who is considered to be an erva, who carries the penalty of kares. There's one exception, and that exception is a menstruating woman, a nida. Shemekadishes hanida harizu mikadeshes kiddushin gemurin. Ve'ein ra'uy lasis kein. For if one betroths a menstruating woman, their betrothal is completely valid, although it is not proper to do so. What he means by this, obviously, is that one should not go through the stage of betrothal with a woman who is a nida, who is in her menstruating period until she has become completely purified. However, the custom in current times does not conform with the view of the Rambam. Halacha Yud Gimel. Eishes ish shepashta yada vekibla kedushin me'acher bifnei baila. Harezo mekudeshes l'sheni. A married woman who stretches out her hand and accepts betrothal from someone else in the presence of her husband, she is considered to be betrothed to the second man. The assumption here is that the husband certainly would have protested unless it is true that the husband had divorced his wife, and therefore she is duly married to the second husband. Shahaisha sha'amra l'vayla b'fanav gerashtani ne'amenis. For a woman who says to the husband in his presence, "You have divorced me," is believed. And the reason for this, the Rambam says, is Chazaka ein isha mi'iza faneha b'fnei baila. There is a presumption that a woman would not have the audacity to act brazenly before her husband. However, it should be noted that nowadays, when there are many women who would be capable of acting brazenly before their husbands, there are authorities who maintain that this would not apply. However, the Rambam qualifies his words. Aval im kidsha acha shelo b'fnei baila, ein kiddushin tovsim ba. However, if someone had betrothed her, a woman who was already married, not in the presence of her husband, the marriage does not take effect. Ad shetavi ra'aya shenizgarsha kodem shetakabel hakiddushin. Until she produces evidence that she had been divorced before she accepted the article of value for betrothal. Kol shelo b'fanav me'iza. And the principle here is that as long as she is not in her husband's presence, she might act brazenly, and therefore the fact itself that she says that she was divorced is not enough until she can prove it. Halacha Yudalit. Paragraph 14. Hamekadesh achas min hashnios. If one betroths one of the shnios, one of the women who is forbidden by secondary degree of prohibition, in other words, rabbinical prohibition, o mi yisuri lavin, o mi yisuri asei, or even if it is a negative commandment that prescribes this betrothal, or it is a prohibition that is derived from a positive commandment, and he betroths her, v'chein yavam shekidesh tzaras yavama, and likewise a brother-in-law, known as a lever, who betroths the co-wife of his sister-in-law. And to explain what this is, in Jewish law, if a man dies and had no children, and he has a brother, according to Jewish law, the wife has to either marry the brother or obtain chalitza. Now, if the deceased husband had a co-wife, another wife, a co-wife to this other wife, once she has been married or received chalitza from one of the brothers, no one is allowed to marry the other wife. And it's based on an inference from a positive commandment. Now, if the brother-in-law does marry the co-wife, harei zo mekudeshes kiddushin gemurin, in all of these cases, the betrothal is completely effective. For even though there is a negative commandment in these cases, or a rabbinical commandment, the marriage still takes effect, which of course does not mean that it is permissible or proper, but they require a get in order to remarry, because she is considered duly married. Chutz, the only exception, is miyavama sheniskacha lazar shehi mekudeshes besafek. The case of a sister-in-law betrothed by a stranger. This is the sister-in-law whose husband died, and she has to marry her brother-in-law, but she married a stranger. In this case, it is considered to be betrothal out of doubt. What is the doubt? Nistapik l'chachamim im ha'kedushin tovsim b'yevama kishar chiyuv elavin. Our sages were in doubt whether the marriage takes effect in the case of the sister-in-law, as it does in other prohibitions where there is a negative commandment. Oh, ein kedushin tovsim b'akerava. Or perhaps it does not take effect upon her, just as it does not upon a woman who is considered an erva, to be one of the forbidden relationships. The afal pi she'asa lo lichnos achas mikol elu, and even though, as we noted before, it is forbidden for any of these people to wed any of these, hareze migarish begate, they nevertheless have to divorce the woman with a get, with a bill of divorce. The reason why the sister-in-law is different than any other negative commandment is because in the Torah, when it prohibits her marrying a stranger, it uses the expression lo tihye, she shall not be to another man, and that expression could suggest that the marriage cannot be. Not only it is illegal, but it is ineffective as well. Halacha Tezvav, paragraph 15. Hamekadesh goya o shifcha, einam kiddushin. If one betroths a non-Jewish woman or a non-Jewish maidservant, they are not betrothed. Ela harehi achar hakiddushin, kemo shehayisa kodem hakiddushin. But she is after the betrothal, just as she was before the betrothal. The whole concept of marriage does not apply for a Jew in relation to a non-Jew. V'chein goy ve'eved shekitchu bas Yisrael ein kiddushim kiddushin. Conversely, if a non-Jewish male or a non-Jewish servant betroths a Jewish girl, their betrothal is not valid at all. Yisrael mishumba shekidesh, a apostate Jew who betroths, a Jew who converts to another religion, but he was born Jewish, aval pisha hu ovid avodah zara bertzono, even though he willingly worships other gods, hari elu kiddushin gemurim, they are considered to be full-fledged betrothal, utzricha get mimenu, and she requires a bill of divorce from him. Commentators point out that the reason for this is that he is a full-fledged Jew, because a Jew, even if he sins, and even if the sin is as heinous as the crime of idolatry, he is still considered a Jew. And the requirement of the get is not only in order for her to remarry, but she must get the get. He must give her the divorce, and he is forced by the courts to do so, because it is wrong for her to be married to a person like this. Halacha Tezayin, 16. Hamakadish Isha, Shechetz Yeshivcha v'chetz Yebas Chorin, Eina Mekudeshes Kiddushin Gemurin Ad Shetishachrer. If a man betroths a woman who is half a maidservant and half free, the betrothal is not completely valid until she is emancipated. What this is referring to is a case of a non-Jewish person in the days of slavery who was purchased by a Jew as a slave by two owners. If one owner frees the slave, then this person, in the case here, this woman, is half a Jewish woman, because any slave that is freed is considered to be a Jew, because when the slave is purchased, they undergo a form of conversion, and the conversion becomes complete upon freedom, upon emancipation. Now that she is only freed by one of her masters, she is half a Jewish woman, and she's also half a non-Jewish servant, an Eved Kenani, or Shivcha Kenanis, as it is called. Therefore, the marriage is not completely valid, because the part of her that is not Jewish, that is a bondswoman, cannot obviously be considered married, while the part of her that is a Jewish woman can. So she has to wait until she is emancipated for the marriage to take effect. V'kevan shenishtachrara gomru kedusheha kedushe ketana shegadla. Once she is freed by the second master, then the betrothal is made complete, in the same manner as the betrothal of a minor who becomes an adult. Then, even though while she was a minor and her father was not alive, or her father no longer had authority over her, but she was married, so even though the marriage does not take effect biblically, if she becomes a mature adult and remains with this husband, then she is considered to be a full-fledged married woman. Likewise, in this case of the servant. There's no need to betroth her over again. If someone else comes and betroths her after she is freed, it's doubtful betrothal for both. The reason for this doubt is that we're afraid that perhaps even before she was free, when she was betrothed, the betrothal had no effect whatsoever, because it was similar to the case of marrying a half a woman, where we had already learned that that would not be a valid betrothal, in which case the second betrothal after she was freed would be valid. On the other hand, it might very well be different than the case of marrying a half a woman, because there he's leaving over half, and here whatever she is capable of giving herself of herself in marriage she is giving. In the case of the half-maid servant and the half-free woman, the free half of her is totally given over in marriage, and therefore the betrothal might have taken effect and is completed upon her emancipation. And therefore the betrothal to the second person would not be valid, in which case she would need a divorce from both. Halacha Yud Zayin, 17. Ve'ezohi shifcha charufa ho'amura b'torah. Who is the designated bondswoman that is mentioned in the Torah? This is in reference to a man who has relations with a shifcha charufa, a designated bondswoman, and the Torah requires the man to bring a karban asham, a guilt offering. And the Rambam explains, Zo mi shechetzya shifcha v'chetzya bas chorin shekitcha eved ivri. This is a reference to a woman who is half maidservant or bondswoman and half free woman who was betrothed by a Hebrew servant who is permitted to marry a shifcha. Even the part of her that is a non-Jewish servant, maidservant, is also permitted to the eved ivri, the Hebrew slave. In this case, if someone else has relations with her, it's similar to the case of a married woman, and therefore has to bring this guilt offering. Umi shechetzio eved v'chetzio ben chorin, a man who is half servant and half free man, shekidish bas chorin, who betrothed a free woman, a Jewish woman, harezo sefek kedushin. Here it's a doubt whether the marriage, whether the betrothal takes effect or not. The basis for the doubt is, perhaps on one hand, it's similar to the case where a man says, be betrothed unto half of me, where it is valid, or perhaps it might be different. In that case, she is fit for him entirely, because he is a full-fledged Jew. In this case, since she is not fit for him entirely, because he is half-servant, maybe even here, the law would be that the marriage would not take effect. So it is in doubt. Halacha Yudches. Shikar Shekidesh Kedushov Kedushin. An intoxicated man who betroths a woman, the betrothal is valid, even if he is exceedingly drunken. However, the Rambam says, if, however, he has reached the drunkenness of Lot, Lot was Abraham's nephew, when the Torah describes how he had relations with his two daughters, after having become intoxicated, if someone reaches that stage, then the betrothal is not valid. And the Rambam concludes, "Umisyashvin bedavar zeh." This matter requires thorough deliberation. In other words, one has to be very careful before determining that this person was so drunk that the marriage is ineffective, because here we'll be permitting a woman to remarry, although the marriage might have taken effect, and she is a married woman already. Halacha Yutes, 19. Hamikadesh bepachas mepruta, ena mikodeshes. If one betroths a woman with an article that is worth less than a pruta, she is not betrothed. Kitcha beochel o bekli of kayotze bo sheshava pachas mepruta, harezo mikodeshes besafik. Utzricha get mesafik. If one betroths a woman with food or a utensil or anything like that that is worth less than a pruta, she is considered betrothed out of doubt, and she needs a divorce out of doubt. And the reason for this is, Shema davar zeh shava pruta b'makam acher. Perhaps this thing might be worth a pruta elsewhere. So even though in this place it is not worth a pruta, it might have the value of a pruta in another place. Holomadata, this teaches us, Shekol hamikadish b'shava kesef. Im haya ba'osa hamadina shava pruta, hara'elu kedushi vadai. That if a man betroths a woman with an article of value, if in that country it is worth a pruta, then the betrothal is certain. It has no doubt. V'im einishav a pruta, but if it has no value of a pruta, hari elu kedushi safek, then it is a doubtful betrothal. Now the Rambam adds his own personal opinion, and he always prefaces that with the words, Yira'el li, it appears to me, she'im kidesh betavshil o beyerek she'enu miskayim u'kayotza behem, that if a man betroths a woman with a cooked dish, or a vegetable that is perishable, okay, and anything like that, im lo haya shava pruta ba'osa hamakom eina mikudeshes klal. If it was not worth a pruta in that place, she is not betrothed at all. It is not even a doubt. And the rationale for this is, shahare davar ze eina magia l'makom acher ad sheyipasid v'yovad v'lo yehe shava pruta. Because such an article cannot reach another place without spoiling and becoming useless, and thus will not be worth a pruta there. And the Rambam concludes this halacha, this law, by saying, V'davra shel tam hu zeh, v'roi lismach olav. that this is a reasonable consideration and deserves to be relied upon. Halacha Chaf, paragraph 20. Hamekadesh isha bepachas mepruta. If a man betroths a woman with less than a pruta's worth, osha kidesh shtei nashim bepruta, or if he betrothed two women with one pruta, afal pisha shalach sivlonos la'achem yikain, eina mekudeshes. Even if he subsequently sent betrothal gifts, they are not married, because these gifts have nothing to do with the actual marriage itself. V'chein katan shekidesh, afal pisha shalach sivlonos la'acha shehigdil, eina mekudeshes. Therefore also, if a minor betroths, and we already learned earlier that a minor's betrothal is invalid, and even if he sends gifts after he becomes a mature adult, she is still not betrothed. Shemachmas kiddushin harishonim shalacham, shahayu kiddushin psulim, because these gifts were sent in pursuance of the original betrothal, which is invalid. So what good are the gifts if what they are connected to is invalid in the first place? Halacha Chaf Aleph, paragraph 21. Hamekadesh ha'isha b'kesef o b'shtar, ein o tzarach sheyitin ha'kiddushin l'toch yada. If a man betroths a woman with money or with a written document, he need not deliver the article of value or the document into her hands, into the hands of the woman. Ella, kivan sheratzasal lizrak la kiddushah uzrakam, bein l'toch yada, bein l'toch cheka, o l'toch chatzera, o l'toch sadashala, harizu b'kodeshes. As soon as she consents that he may throw her the article of value or the document, and he does throw it, whether into her hand, her lap, her courtyard, her field, she is betrothed. Haisa amedes brashus habal, tzarech sheyitin l'toch yada o l'toch cheka. If, however, she stands in her husband's domain, he must deliver it directly into her hand or into her lap. If she was standing in a joint domain that belonged to both her husband and herself, and her husband sends her, throws her the article of value, and this is with her consent, and they did not reach her hand or her lap, the betrothal here is in doubt. The doubt is, and on one hand, part of the property is his, so he really never gave it to her completely. On the other hand, we might assume that since he wants to marry her, he would rent her or lend her the part of the property upon which the article of value falls. V'afilu amru lo, hanach kiddushin al makam zeh, v'osa hamakam shel shneim, hara'ilu kiddushi safik. And even if she says to him, deposit the article of value or the bill, the document, for betrothal on this place, and that place belongs to them jointly, the marriage, the betrothal, is only in out of doubt. And in any case where the marriage is in doubt, if they want to remain married, they have to go through the procedure again, and if they don't want to remain married, there's a need for a real get, a divorce, a bill of divorce. Halacha Chav Beis, paragraph 22, the final paragraph of this chapter. Hayu omdim b'rishus harabim. If both man and woman were standing in a public domain, or in a domain belonging to neither of them, and he throws her the article of value for betrothal, if it's closer to him, she is not betrothed. If it falls closer to her, she is betrothed. Mechza al mechza, o shehaya safik karav lo, safik karav lo. If it is half and half, in other words, it falls midway between the two of them, or if there's a doubt whether it fell closer to him or closer to her, and the article is lost before it reaches her hand, the validity of this betrothal is in doubt. What do we mean when we say it is nearer to him or nearer to her? Kol shehu yachalishma osam, vihi eini yachola, Zehu karav lo. If he can watch it, but she cannot, then it's considered to be closer to him. He yachola lishmer osam, vahu eina yachol, zehu karav lo. If she can watch it, but he cannot, then we deem it to be closer to her. Shneim yachola lishmer osam, o shneim ein yachola lishmer osam, zehu mechza al mechza. If both can watch it, or both cannot watch it, that is what we consider to be midway between the two of them. With this, the Rambam concludes the fourth chapter of Hilchos Ishus, the laws concerning marriage.